are so thankful that Dr. Don Sis took time out of his busy traveling schedule to invest in Worth Baptist Church this week. Dr. Sis and his family went to Japan as missionaries in 1965. They served there for many years, and God did an incredible work. The Lord began to lead him to take a leadership position in Baptist International Missions Incorporated. At first, he was the Far East director, and then he was the president and general director. BIMI has over 800 missionaries serving in countries all over the world. It is a missions agency that God has used, and under Dr. Sisk's leadership, it grew and flourished and continues until this day. He's retired from the general directorship of BIMI. Now he is the general director emeritus. And he primarily travels to churches like ours, preaching in mission conferences and at special meetings, helping us to have a greater burden and passion to reach the lost in our generation. It has been a real privilege to have him here this week. He's going to come with another Bible message here in just a moment.
It is a great privilege to sit on the platform with your pastor. The first time I came here, I called him Brother Gillette. And he forgave me and had me back again. With my dear friend, Dr. Raymond Barber. Been a great fellowship this week with Dr. Willie Weaver and his wife and so forth. Let me congratulate Worth Baptist Church on one of the greatest transitions that I've ever seen in my whole life. A lot of times a young pastor will come in and try to destroy everything the other pastors have done, and that's dumb. But he has come in and built upon what the other pastors have done. And it is a beautiful, beautiful relationship. Let's thank them for being what they are. Amen. Open your Bibles to James chapter 4. The book of James chapter 4. I'm going to be reading with verse 13. That'll be easy for you to find, and if you're able and can, would you stand for the reading of God's word today, okay? James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boasting. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let's pray together this morning. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here at Worth Baptist Church. I'm humbled, dear Lord, by these good men that I'm working with in this great church. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you. Now, Lord, I'd sure like to be a blessing to your people this morning. But I realize the only way I can be a blessing to them is that you will bless and use me. I realize the reality that you're the vine and we're branches. As we abide in you and you in us, then we can bring forth much fruit. But without you, we can do nothing. Dear Lord, I realize this morning, without you, I can do absolutely nothing. So I pray you will anoint my lips that I can speak right today. I pray you would anoint my mind that I could think right. My heart that I would be right. And bless your people with the reading of God's word today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Look at verse 13. Go to now. In other words, think about it. Go to now. Ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Verse 32 describes what I call as a practical atheist. Now, probably those people would never make a speech trying to disprove the existence of God. They would never write a book trying to disprove the existence of God. But they live their life as if there was no God. And sad to say, even many professing Christians live their lives as if there was no God. Oh, we come to church on Sunday morning, we sang the hymns, we pray, but then the rest of the week we just live as if there was no God. I noticed a young couple at breakfast this morning, and before they ate, they bowed their heads, joined their hands, and they prayed. And then they kissed each other. That made me a little jealous, okay? It's been a long time since my wife went to heaven. But I thought, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Let me ask you a question. Have you really talked to God about your life? Have you really, really asked God, dear God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to be? What do you want me to do? If we're not careful, we'll just make decisions on our own and never even consult God about it. I'm reminded of the greatest egotist in the Bible. A rich farmer's land brought forth plentifully. And he was in the midst and he heard Jesus speaking, and Jesus was speaking about some great things. And then all of a sudden this man piped up and said, Jesus, talk to my brother about my inheritance. He's cheating me on my inheritance. Okay, I mean, he wasn't listening to anything the preacher was saying. He just came there to try to get Jesus to talk about it. You remember what Jesus said? Life does not consist in the abundance of things possessed. Wouldn't it be great if we could learn that? Life does not consist in the abundance of things possessed. And then he told about this rich farmer that he was already rich, but he had a big bumper crop. And you remember the story. And he begins to think about it. What shall I do? And he said, I'll tear down my big barn, our old barns, and I'll build bigger barns, and I'll put all of this big harvest in there, and then I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good for many days laid up. Eat, drink, and be merry. Did you notice the only person he talked about was I? He had eye problems, amen? And by the way, if you're all tied up in yourself, it's a small bundle, okay? And that's where he was. He did not consult God. He didn't say, God, thank you for what you've given me. He didn't say to his wife. He didn't even speak to his wife about anything. Can you imagine a farmer not giving his wife credit? Huh? Or anybody giving their wife credit? Amen. I heard this story about a man was showing his friends around. He had a new house. He brought his friend in. And he said, I want you to see my living room. Isn't this wonderful? And then he showed him different things. I want you to see our bedroom. You know, it's all cleaned up and everything. And he went in the kitchen. I want you to see my kitchen. And all of a sudden, his wife got the rolling pin and hit him on the head. And he got out of the hospital his wife said to him, said, "Hun, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that probably, but you kept saying mine and mine and mine. But really, isn't it ours?" A little bit later on, he said, "Hon, would you hand me our trousers?" Okay. He learned, okay. But if we're not careful, we will live our life without consulting God about what. Don't you love the verse? "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." We need to realize that we need the leadership of God, not for next year, not for a month from now, but every step that we take. We are totally dependent on God. And then James says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." What is your life? Number one, it's short. Or you say, "Brother Sisk, at your age, I know you realize that." And I do. Everywhere I go, I hear people say, "I don't want you to die on my watch. I don't want you to die on my watch." Hey, wait a minute. I got to die on somebody's watch, amen. What is your life? Look at it. It's even a vapor. It appears just a minute, and then it's gone. A mist, and then it's gone. My mother-in-law lived to be 106 years old. At her 100th birthday, the whole town nearly came. It was a little town, Nortonville, Kentucky, about 600 people. And we rode her down to the church on a horse-drawn carriage, and we just had a great time. And I interviewed her. And I remember Nanny saying to me, "Don, I just don't feel like I'm 100. And I said, "Well, Nanny, you don't have a lot of people to ask how you're supposed to feel when you're 100, do you?" She lived to be 106 years old. By the way, I tell young preachers everywhere, be careful how you choose your mother-in-law. They last a long time, okay? Now, she's 100 years old, but she said, I just don't feel like short. I'm 89 years old. Thank God there's some people older than me. Not much, but a little bit, amen. But when we compare this little time that we live on this earth with eternity, it's like putting a dot on a piece of paper. And that little dot is your lifetime. And then you draw that line just as long and long and as infinite. What is your life? It's short. It's short. And that's the reason the Apostle Paul could say in 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our light afflictions, which are just for a moment, worketh for us a far greater reward in heaven." Have you ever thought about that verse? For our light affliction. How light was your affliction, Paul? Well, I was scourged 5 times. I was beaten with rods. I was left for dead. I had all kind of problems. I was stoned. That didn't mean he got drunk, amen. That meant they threw stones at him. And then he told about all the problems. But then he said, our light affliction. If we're not careful, we can have an ingrown toenail and we think it's the worst thing in the world. Our light affliction, but for a moment. In comparison with eternity, it's just for a moment. What is your life? What is your life? It's short. What is your life? It's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. Let me plead with teenagers and children, young people. I see so many young people, very young, and they ruin their lives literally ruin their lives. Please, please, don't ruin your life with drugs and sex and all of the other things. Don't ruin your life. Then I see so many Christians that are just getting by. They're just using their life. Don't just use your life for yourself. It's a gift from God. Invest your life in the work of God. Remember, dear friend, that God made you. I love Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. When God was going to use Jeremiah in a great way to be his main spokesman for several kings and then all the way into the Babylonian captivity. And Jeremiah had all the reasons in the world he couldn't serve God, couldn't do what God wanted to do. And God said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the belly," by the way, you know what he said? "I made you, Jeremiah." And by the way, he made you and he made you and he made you and he made all of us. Amen. And that, by the way, that ends the question, where does life begin? Life begins with conception. And by the way, abortion at any time after that is wrong. Life begins with Jeremiah. God said to Jeremiah, "I made you." You think about that. God is saying to every one of us, "I made you. I made you. I made you. I made you. I made you. He even made me. I made you." And then he said, "I knew thee." Jeremiah, I know all about you. I made you. Hey, by the way, when God begins to speak to your heart about something you need to do, somewhere you need to go, whatever you need to give, remember, God said, "I made you, I know you, I know where you are physically, I know where you are mentally, I know where you are economically, I know you, I know you." And then he said, "I sanctified thee." In other words, I set you apart. For the life of me, I can't figure out why God's people want to live like the world. That's what we were before. Now we're saved by the grace of God, and we're his children. And then he said, "And Jeremiah, I have ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." You say, okay, Brother Sears, that's where the verse breaks down. He didn't ordain any of us as a prophet to the nation, not, and you're right. But I believe God is saying to Jeremiah, "Jeremiah, I have a purpose for you. I have a purpose for you." What is your life? It's a gift from God. Be sure that you invest it in that which will count. I think it was D.L. Moody that first made this statement. Our greatest fear should not be that we would fail. Our greatest fear should be that we would succeed in that which does not matter. Is your life counting for the Lord? Have you invested your life in God? What is your life? It's short. What is your life? It's a gift from God. Don't ruin it. Don't just use it. Use it for the glory of God. What is your life? It's unpredictable. Look at it. Go to now you that say today or tomorrow. And they, in other words, they got it all planned out. And by the way, it's not wrong to make plans. In fact, I've heard some people say, "Well, I don't have any plans at all." Okay, you plan to fail then, amen? We ought to make plans, but we must be sure God is in that plan. So go to now, you that say today or tomorrow, we're going to a certain city and continue there a year and buy and sell. Whereas you know not what shall be tomorrow. He said, you're talking about what you're going to do for a year. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. By the way, you don't either. I don't either. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for we know not what tomorrow may bring forth. What is your life? It's unpredictable. But thank God we know somebody that does know the future. Many years ago, I committed my life to the Lord. Many years ago, as a young man. And I had no idea where God would lead me, what he would want me to do, where he would want me to go, and so forth. But step by step, I've tried to follow the Lord. A lot of people have a hard time talking about it. I'm trying to find the will of God. Well, it's not hard to find. God wants you to know it. And in the book of Genesis, there's this story about Abraham sending his servant out to get a wife for Isaac. And the servant got close to the place where Abraham told him to go. And he got the thing. I don't have any idea how to choose this one. And so, good thing, he prayed. And it's a simple prayer. Dear Lord, when I go over there and I'm by the well, and when a girl comes and draws water, then I will say to her, give me a drink of that water. And she'll say, okay. And while you're drinking, I'll draw water for your camels. And by the way, that didn't mean you turn on the faucet. That means you put the bucket down the well. Time after time after time. Five camels. That's a whole lot of water. And lo and behold, he got over there. And he saw this girl, good looking girl. And that's not a bad idea for a wife, amen. And she was nice. And he said, would you give me a drink of water? And her name was Rebecca. Would you give me a drink of water? Oh, yeah. Hey, by the way, while you're drinking, I'll draw water for your camel. You know, if we're not careful, we'll pray so generally that we won't ever know whether God answers our prayers or not. Anyway, everything just worked out all so well. And after he met her parents and so forth, and they'd already planned the wedding, her and Isaac. And he made this statement. Now listen to it very carefully. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Can we really know daily, the daily leadership? Oh, yeah. How do you get in the way? Number one, you get saved. Without being saved by the grace of God, you can't possibly live your life the way God wants you to live. You get saved. Number two, you be submissive. The servant of Abraham, Eliezer, did everything Abraham told him to do, the way Abraham told him to do it. He was submissive. By the way, submissiveness is not a bad word. It's a good word. Number two, three, he was separated from the world. And guess what? When he went, he had all of the substance of Abraham, a very rich man. I, being in the way the Lord led me. You know all you need to know the will of God? Today I'm saved. Today I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do. Today, I'm ready to go anywhere God wants me to go. Today, I'm willing to give anything God wants me to give. What is your life? It's unpredictable. Don't make plans without consulting the one that made you. God, what is your life? It's a time for preparation. For eternity. You remember the prophet prepare to meet thy God. And by the way, whether you're prepared or not, one day you're going to meet him. All of us have an appointment. A lot of appointments we make, we decide, I really don't want to go. Maybe I have a doctor's appointment. I'm getting feeling better. I'm going to cancel it. Maybe you have a hair appointment and you have to do something else and you don't go to the beauty shop. You need to go to the beauty shop. Amen. You know, or maybe you call to get something done in your automobile and then it gets better. You cancel it. But all of us have an appointment and we're going to meet it. Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. What is your life? It's a time of preparation for eternity. Could I urge you this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you're in a wonderful spot. There are people here that can take the Bible, the Word of God, and show you how you can know for sure you're saved and going to heaven. That's a wonderful thing. I said to this lady one time at the hospital, going to see my wife. She said, do you know where you're going? I said, yeah, I visit every day. I know where I'm going. And then I said, and I know where I'm going in eternity after I die. And she said, oh, nobody knows that. And I said, you believe the Bible? She said, oh, yeah, I believe the Bible. Hey, by the way, everybody in Tennessee believes the Bible. They don't know what's in it, but they believe it, okay? And I quoted her, this one verse. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And she said a dumb thing. I can't buy that. I said, you're right. You can't buy it. It's a free gift. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. If you're not here today, if you're here today, and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, may I urge you, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Children, young people, young married couples, middle-aged people, even old people, be sure that you're where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do in the way God wants you to do it. What is your life? It's short. It's a gift from God. It's unpredictable. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. But thank God I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. It's a time for preparation. Today is the day. By the way, listen to this. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, him it is sin. Is God speaking to you about any commitment, any decision you need to make today? Then if you don't do it, according to the Bible, it's sin. Could I urge you today to do what the mother of Jesus told the people at the wedding? Whatever he says to you, do it. What is your life? Think about it. Don't live your life without consulting God about everything.